Good afternoon. It's 1 o'clock Friday. It's the Divorce Hour, and I'm Larry Bloom. This show is your show. It works best with your comments and your questions. So call us, Twitter us, instant message us. The phone number here, 877-480-4120. You can Twitter us at TalkAlternative at Twitter, or instant message us at TalkAlternative@AOL.com. It's great to be back with you. I enjoyed speaking with everyone last week, and I'm hopeful that we can do this every week, get together and talk about divorce. And we're going to talk about other things of interest. One of the things that I hope to address today, well, first of all, let me tell you, that was Pat Benatar singing Love is a Battlefield. And yes, love is a battlefield. Divorce can be a battlefield. So is marriage. One of the things that's not about divorce today that I want to talk about, I want to get it out in the open, is that the Wendy Walk. The Wendy Walk is a charity walk scheduled for a week from Sunday, April 18th in Central Park and in other locations around the country, raising money to find a cure for a rare and currently incurable form of cancer suffered by a friend of the show, Wendy from Los Angeles, a matrimonial attorney and divorce mediator who suffers from this illness. Again, the walk is next Sunday, and we would encourage you to come out. I will give you all the specifics next week. Join us for the Wendy Walk. You can participate in a very good cause, help find a cure, meet other listeners who have similar situations, or if you just want to see the face behind this voice. The photo of me at talkingalternative.com is my pre-separation photograph. I look happy now. I smile now. Not happier, but happy. Divorce makes people happy. For more information on the Wendy Walk, and for more information on my firm, please call my office at 212-964-3502 or email me through my website, larrybloom@ny-nj-divorce-attorneys.com. And I can email back more specific information and a registration form. One of our guests next week, and yes, we will have guests, not today, but we will have guests, is Susan Herzog of Jonas and Herzog Divorce Mediation, who will not only talk about the benefits of mediation versus litigation in divorce cases, but who is also one of the organizers of the Wendy Walk, and who will give specifics about this terrible disease and the efforts underway to find a cure. We can talk about today the history of divorce. Divorce has been around for as long as marriage has been around, and I'm not talking about going and saying I do. The history of divorce starts with the caveman and goes through the dinosaur. In other words, not much has benefited over the course of time, and maybe there's been some regression. Now, normally when I say this, I ask a group of people, what happens when a caveman finds out that Mrs. Caveman's been fooling around on him? And then people look at me with blank stares on their face, and I go, they stoned Mrs. Caveman to death. What happens when they found out that Mr. Caveman's been fooling around on the side? Again, more blank stares. But all the other cavemen come up to him, pat him on the back, say, good job, and also say, which cave is she in? That's the way divorce started. It was all men, all against the woman. And the history of divorce ever since has been a pendulum going back and forth, trying to determine, or to, not determine, but to balance the rights of men versus the rights of women, and also the rights of children. The divorce in New York, and divorce in New Jersey, I practice in both states, as I told you last week, is such that the woman continued to be stoned to death until 1966, when the divorce laws were changed and you could actually get divorced on a ground other than adultery. But what did that do for you then? Well, you could get divorced on cruelty grounds. You could get divorced on abandonment grounds. But if the woman were guilty of a fault, in other words, if she abandoned her husband, if she were mean to her husband, cruel and inhuman, basically committing, doing bad things is the best way of phrasing it, or if she committed adultery, she was economically stoned to death. The fault was a factor in property distribution. I'll come back to property distribution in a minute. But the spouse, usually the wife, who was guilty of this fault, was penalized and held to have forfeited her right to alimony. Now the law has changed again. Again, bringing the pendulum back, trying to make it a little more beneficial to the woman. In July of 1980, the Equitable Distribution Law came about. And that was a law that was similar to the law in New Jersey at the time. And those two laws exist today, the New Jersey Equitable Distribution Law and the New York Equitable Distribution Law. When we come back, we will talk about the specifics on property distribution, but let me tell you right now that the concept of marital fault has gone out the window with regard to both property distribution and with regard to alimony and spousal maintenance payments. So even if you're bad, even if you've cheated on your husband, you can still get support, because support is based upon need and based upon financial abilities. Guys, don't think that you're down the road, you know, up the creek without a paddle on this one, because if you're found to have been at fault and your wife has been supporting you all along, your fault is also irrelevant and you can get alimony or maintenance on your own. From your wife, who's been perfectly good to you, and you've gotten bored and decided to leave. I remind you all that this show works best with your questions, with your comments. So give us a call at 877-480-4120. Twitter us at Talk Alternative at Twitter. Instant message us at talkalternative@aol.com. When we get back, we will address the property issues.
You're listening to Information Fridays on Talking Alternative, starting at 10 a.m. every Friday without fail. Information Fridays on Talking Alternative. Hi folks, I'm Giorgio Rapetti. In these economic times, you may think it is expensive to look after your health. Not with us. Our fees have stayed low for the past 3 years and will continue to be, even though the inflation rate is fast reaching 15% nationwide. De-stress, revitalize and re-energize yourself at Rapetti Wellness. Please call 212-721-8183. 212-721-8183.
You're listening to The Talking Alternative Network. This is Information Friday on The Talking Alternative Network. Follow us on Facebook at Talking Alternative Fan Club, or Twitter at Talk Alternative.
Welcome back to the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom. If you like what you hear, tell a friend. Call in, Twitter us, and instant message. Following the show today, the entire Information Friday slate will be restreamed, and I will be back, not live, but this show will be restreamed at 6 p.m. today. Tell your friends, have them listen in, and listen in every Friday at 1 o'clock. Now, we were talking about property. Property is stuff. Property is houses. Property are bank accounts, money, businesses, pensions, and even pets. All those things are property. In the past, in other words, in New York before July of 1980, if the property were in the sole name of the husband, such as the business was in his sole name, that was his property. The wife would not get a dime from it in a divorce. Since 1980, that has changed. And regardless of whether the property is in my name, her name, or our names, it is all property to be distributed. As they say in court, title doesn't count. Now, property, the definition of property, has been expanded by the New York courts. It's included professional degrees, professional licenses, professional practices, and things of that nature. And now, celebrity status that may have been acquired during the marriage, and the nebulous concept of enhanced earnings capacity. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you did anything during your marriage to make you a better earner, let's say you won American Idol and you became the next pop star, your celebrity status would be part of your enhanced earnings capacity, and it could be and would be divided in a divorce. In other words, a property right or property value would be assigned to it, and then that would be available to disperse and distribute in the course of the divorce case. So, I hear all the time, Larry, it's my business. It's me. My business would be valueless without me. There's the first thing we learned in law school, day one. I can see it now. My professor standing at the lectern, banging his hand on the desk. How do you determine value? You hire an expert. And trust me, there are experts for everything. They can value anything and everything. And for the right price, you can find an expert who will tell you exactly what you want to hear. Sometimes in court on very contested divorce cases that actually go to trial, there'll be the husband's expert in and the wife's expert in. I know recently we divided up a car dealership, and the husband's expert had a much lower value on this dealership than the wife's expert. And throughout the trial, the lawyers each questioned the wife's expert and each questioned the husband's expert. And finally, the judge made a decision. The judge has the power to accept one, reject another, or do some sort of a compromise and look in between. The judge, and it's a judge determination. Divorce is for judges. There is only one issue in a divorce case that is suitable for a jury, and that's an issue about the marital fault itself. Remember, in New York, and we're still in New York, there is no such thing as irreconcilable differences. So if for some reason we would want to keep people married, such as it's just too expensive for them to divorce, we could fight the divorce in New York either before a judge or, if one side wanted, before a jury. That is the only thing a jury can determine in a divorce case, whether or not you get divorced. Now, in 30 years of practice, the one constant I can tell you is that the parties agree on one thing, and one thing only. They agree that they hate each other's guts and that they want to be divorced. No matter how much money they have, no matter how little money they have, no matter whether they have 10 kids or none, no kids, the divorce itself is usually not the issue. And 9 times out of 10, when a divorce is, the grounds for divorce are tried. Again, this is only New York, because New Jersey has irreconcilable differences and other forms of no-fault divorce. But in New York, it is for an economic leverage position. Nobody is, I won't say nobody, because I have one client who loves her husband and does not want to be divorced. That's pretty good. 30 years, one contested divorce because she loves him. The rest were because of money. The financial issues, the property distribution, the spousal support, the child support, all determined by a judge. The children issues, who they live with, what time they spend with the other parents, what religion, or who will make the decision as to the religion of the children, who will make the medical decisions, who will make the educational decisions, all decided by a judge. They don't all have to go to the same person. For instance, the parties will may be determined that the mother will have custody and the father will have certain visitation rights, but the father has more expertise in medical decisions, and he might be assigned that what they call a sphere of influence, so that the father would be the ultimate determinator of decision maker. Excuse me, of those educational issues, or those medical issues. The mother may have more expertise in schooling and educational issues. All of those things, if the parties cannot agree themselves, will be decided by a third party. Now, in New York, there is a provision that says you can't agree to have a mediator or an arbitrator make the ultimate custody and visitation decisions. If you can't agree yourselves, then you can't delegate that power away from the judge. So child custody issues, if they cannot be agreed, cannot be the subject of mandatory mediation and mandatory arbitration. The states have various other alternatives with regard to the mediation process. And again, when Susan Herzog, I always throw a T in there. There is no T in there. When Susan comes in next week, we will talk about the mandatory mediation that exists in New Jersey. New Jersey is a funny animal. And I will tell you right now, not only am I a divorce lawyer in the state of New Jersey, I am also a divorce litigant in the state of New Jersey. And New Jersey, like New York, doesn't want these cases tried. They will do anything and everything within their means to settle a case. Now, I will explain the detailed procedure of getting from the start of a divorce case to a trial in the state of New Jersey, because I think that will be illustrative of the ways in which settlements can be reached. We will do that when we come back.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Why not treat them naturally? Hi folks, I'm Giorgio Rapetti from Rapetti Wellness. Treat your aches and pains with natural methods at Rapetti Wellness in New York City. For more information, please call 212-721-8183. 212-721-8183. We look forward to hearing from you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
This is Jim Blue. When is the last time your computer had a checkup? You probably make sure your car keeps up with its maintenance schedule. Surely most of you have annual physicals. The same should be true of your equipment. Why shorten the life of your computer? You can save money by extending the life of your equipment with a maintenance program. In order to find out what type of program works best for you, give us a call. The phone number is 917-921-4518.
Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to the Divorce Hour. This is Larry Bloom. We were talking about the process. Now, once you have lawyers, and you should always have a lawyer, even I have a lawyer for my own divorce, you wouldn't perform, a surgeon wouldn't take out his own appendix. A divorce lawyer shouldn't handle his own divorce, shouldn't handle her own divorce. The settlement process can be anything. It is limited only by the creativity and imaginations of the two lawyers and of the parties themselves. Be active in your process. But if for some reason you get two lawyers who bang heads, then the court process will determine what's going on. Within a matter of a month of issue being joined in a case, in other words, after you've filed a complaint or a complaint has been filed against you, and you've either appeared in that lawsuit by submitting a piece of paper or answering the complaint, or saying, No, I didn't do those things, but he did this, that, and the other thing, and I want a divorce. That starts a process, and about a month later, you will have what's called a case management conference. Very similar to the preliminary conference in New York. But for the moment, let's talk about New Jersey. And in both states, though, there are, it is a matter of scheduling. You're not there at that particular moment to settle everything. You could. You could certainly use it as an opportunity to narrow the issues. The judge is going to say, well, your kids are 18. You don't really have a custody dispute, do you? Or you got triplets who were a year old. Mister, you're not really looking for custody of these kids, are you? So some of that stuff will be addressed at the beginning. If both parties are, the wife is a veterinarian and the husband is a divorce attorney, then no one's going to pay alimony or spousal maintenance to the other because they're both self-supporting. But that veterinary practice might be worth a fortune. The law practice might not be worth so much. So a process is started by what, which is called discovery. And the judge will set out timetables for submitting certain financial information, for having the two practices or businesses appraised. If the parties own real estate here and elsewhere, that those items of real estate will have to be appraised as well. Some cases you may have some very valuable artwork that'll need to be appraised if the parties can't agree on how it's going to be distributed. Similarly, one spouse may have a gun collection, very valuable. Another spouse may have more jewelry than they know what to do with. All of that will need to be appraised as part of the process. Then in New Jersey, unlike New York, they say come back 6, 8, 10 weeks later, depending on how complicated the case is and how much information needs to be done, and appear before the early settlement panel. The early settlement panel are two or three local lawyers who volunteer their time to assist in trying to settle a case. They are local to the county in which your case is pending. They know what the judges do. They appear before those judges all the time, and they have a fairly good idea of where a case should settle for. About a week before you go in for your early settlement panel conference, your lawyer and your spouse's lawyer will each submit to the panelists, basic financial information, a financial statement, possibly some tax returns, and what's called a settlement sheet or settlement statement that will address the various issues and set forth what your wish list is for it to be resolved. Now, both sides are going to do that. The lawyers who are involved in the panel work very hard at it. They read all of the materials that are submitted. They take notes. They ask very pointed questions. Now, first, the spouse's two lawyers go in to meet with the panelists and see what's agreeable, what's not agreeable, see where the true issues are and where the make-believe issues are. And then the panelists will confer among themselves to make a recommendation. That recommendation could be something that you've been considering before in the negotiations with counsel, but without the need of third parties. Or you can, they can come up with something completely different because, again, matrimonial law is a creative process. It's not static. The law changes all the time. There are many ways to skin a cat, as the old saying goes. So what happens when one side says, You know what, panelists? Good idea. And the other side says, no way, no how, I'm not giving her a dime. Well, you go back to the judge, because there's always a second case management conference that's scheduled on the same day as the early settlement panel conference. Now, let's not be negative. Let's start with what happens if both people say, you know, I can live with that. Because you'll never have a situation where both people are going to say, that's great, I really love this. The best settlements are where each party is equally unhappy. People have to give away things from their wish list to get it resolved, to stop paying the lawyers, to stop going to court, and to start getting on with the rest of their life. So, if you settle, you can put an agreement on the record. In New Jersey, there's a tape recorder going in the courtroom all the time. So even if the judge is not on the bench and it's just you and your lawyer sitting in the courtroom, be prepared to understand that every word you say between the two of you will be on tape. Terrible system, but that's the way it is, and that's the way you have to live with it. But you've come to an agreement. You put an agreement on the record. In other words, one of the lawyers sets forth all of the terms to which you've agreed, with the other lawyer often interjecting, commenting, and the judge asking questions to clarify. But the best news is that once you've done that, you get divorced that day. You walk away from court with a piece of paper that says, you are single. The single most happy day of your life. Probably even happier than the day your children were born. It's freedom. It's a great thing. But like I said before, what happens if you don't agree? You go back to the judge. And the judge says, why didn't you agree? And your lawyer, you don't see the judge. Usually the lawyer will see the judge in the back room before the judge comes out and talks to you on the record. And when the judge comes out and talks on the record, the judge will say, I'm very disappointed, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. This case should be settled. He says that about every case, because according to the judge, no case should be tried. But I'm not going to give you a trial right away. I am going to send you to mandatory economic mediation. So what you're going to do is the two lawyers, your lawyer and your spouse's lawyer, will go through a list of the approved economic mediators who are generally either accountants or more probably other matrimonial lawyers. And you will select one of these people, and you must go to that mediator's office on at least one occasion. If it works out, then you may agree to go back, or you may settle it. There is one mediator that I have used in the state of New Jersey. I will tell you that every single time I have had a mediation with her, we leave that day with a handshake. Sometimes the deals fall apart afterwards. But most of the time, we leave with a handshake. New Jersey, unlike New York, is wonderful. The goal is always to settle, but the goal is to move them in and move them out. So you go to Susan, go to my friend Susan, and she's able to work out a deal, and someone will prepare an agreement and signed. You call the court, and you say to the court, you know, I'm supposed to go in on June 15th for another case management conference or a pretrial conference, but we settled. We have a signed agreement. Can we come in earlier? The answer is always yes. They want you in. They want the statistics of having settled the case, because while you think it's important to you to settle the case, the judges get graded. They all have bosses themselves. And when they process a divorce They've settled the case. They get credit for it. They want to do it as fast as possible, and they want to move on to the next one. Don't be surprised, though, the day that if you're going in to try your case and you think, you know, you spent hours with your lawyer preparing testimony, preparing a new financial statement, preparing another wish list. And you get there and the courtroom's full. Why is the courtroom full? Because you have a bunch of people who are there with uncontested divorces. You have a couple of people there with emergency applications. And you have three or four other cases that are on for a contested trial. Because the judge is going to do his or her damnedest to make sure you settle that day. The statistics show that 98% of divorces settle before there is a trial decision. That doesn't mean that they settle without a trial starting or without going to court on the day of trial. What they do say is that at some point the case will settle. Now, there are lawyers who do everything. There are lawyers, and I'll talk about that when we come back. I'll talk about the contested trial process and what you should look for when you are hiring a divorce attorney or a divorce mediator or trying to resolve your issues. Please give us a call here at 877-480-4120. We'd love to talk to you when we come back.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Why not treat them naturally? Hi folks, I'm Giorgio Rapetti from Rapetti Wellness. Treat your aches and pains with natural methods at Rapetti Wellness in New York City. For more information, please call 212-721-8183. 212-721-8183. We look forward to hearing from you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
This is Jim Blue. When is the last time your computer had a checkup? You probably make sure your car keeps up with its maintenance schedule. Surely most of you have annual physicals. The same should be true of your equipment. Why shorten the life of your computer? You can save money by extending the life of your equipment with a maintenance program. In order to find out what type of program works best for you, give us a call. The phone number is 917-921-4518.
Talking Alternative.
Not notorious, notorious.
Right.
Welcome back to the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom. Before we go into the contested trial, which is the down and dirty part of the divorce, that's what you see on divorce court and television, I want to talk about topics for upcoming shows. Now, I have certain ideas, but I want to remind you, it's your show too, and if I'm not talking about what you're interested in, then email me, call me, let me know what you want to hear. My phone number is 212-964-3502. I would love to hear from you with any ideas and any suggestions. Don't be bashful. Next week, I am going to be having a divorce mediator in and discussing the differences between divorce mediation and contested divorce litigation. Susan Herzog has been in the matrimonial field for the past, how long has she been? Almost as long as I have. I've been in it for 30 years, and I will not divulge my friend's age. Just say she is very well experienced in this field. I have also discovered a very good area. Divorce support groups. Unfortunately, I discovered them after I was separated for a year and in litigation for 6 months. If you're thinking about divorce, if you're unhappy, get support. There are numerous opportunities to get support, psychological support, financial advice, things of that nature. And I hope to bring in the organizer of a group that I actually am a part of and like and look forward to a weekly breakfast and a monthly meeting, as well as the social activities that are involved. There are support groups available through your church, through your synagogue. Some of you may like that. Some of you may not. I know that I've been to a very religious support group. And you know what? It's great for the people that feed off on that and find comfort in their spirituality. Truthfully, it's not for me. And that's not something that I will be doing again. But I want you guys to be able to understand that there are alternatives. I have also discovered that there is a young lady who has written a book about divorce from the perspective of the child. She's a teenager. I think she's 17 or 18 years old. I plan on reaching out to her just as soon as I finish reading the book. And next week, I will have the book in hand and give you the title and means of getting same. You know, most of us going through divorces are also parents. Sometimes we do what's best for our children. And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't. And it's important to realize what the impact is on your children. And I'm not talking about children who are two. I'm not talking just about children who are 10 or who are teenagers. Your children are your children forever. They can be in their 50s. They can be in their 70s. They still have issues. They're still your children. And you have to learn how to deal with that. There are means, and you certainly have to listen to what they say. I can't tell you how many times my own children have said to me, "Dad, I don't want to talk about that now." Or, "Don't say that." Now, admittedly, my children are very vocal children, the son of a divorce lawyer. As you, my daughter would say, and I will start it right away, she would repeat what my normal introduction line is when I speak to a group of people. I am the son of two very famous people. You may not know their names, but you certainly know what they have accomplished in life. My father discovered and invented the remote control. He hit me on the head and said Channel 2. He hit my brother on the head and said Channel 4. You've seen the commercials where Windows 7 is my idea. The remote control was my father's idea, and he worked it very well. My mother, on the other hand, was a famous composer. I'm sure you may have heard of her most famous work, the theme to 60 Minutes. I try to look at everything with a sense of humor. I try to make people smile. I try to make people laugh. I know that the divorce process, the process is hell. The result is heaven. The going through the mediation I told you about and going through the early settlement panel, those things are nerve-wracking. Going to what's called a four-way, where it's in your lawyer's office or your spouse's office, lawyer's office, and you try and hammer out the issues, are terrible. There's so much angst and anguish and discomfort that I know certain people who say, I'll sit in one room, they can sit in the other room, and you'll just bounce information back and forth at me. I don't like my clients to do that because I like my clients to show as much backbone and as much strength as possible. And you certainly will always have an opportunity to speak with just your lawyer alone and not in the presence of the other side. But you should also give an understanding to the other side of just how determined you are and the issues you're determined about. I've often found that the four-way meeting is a good way for me to size up not only the other lawyer, not the other liar, the other lawyer, and to size up the client. Will that client be able to withstand cross-examination? Will she break down and cry? Will he break down and cry? Will he be able to stay on topic and answer the question that's asked, or will they go in 10 different areas at once? A good lawyer has to figure out what the other side will do on trial and what their own client will do on trial. The four-way meeting is a great opportunity to do that. You can do that before your first case management conference. You can do that before you even start litigation. I always tell people there's a nice way to start a divorce case, and there's a not-so-nice way to start a divorce case. And then there's a really mean way to start a divorce case. The nice way is, dear Mr. Jones, your wife has consulted me with regard to your marital difficulties. We would like to resolve things amicably. Please have your lawyer call me as soon as possible. That's the nice way. You didn't start a lawsuit. You didn't file any papers. You didn't get the judge involved. And you open a dialogue that way. If your spouse hires someone your lawyer has a good working relationship with, that opens the door. That allows for the creativity. Even if the lawyers don't know each other or don't know each other's reputations, and everyone in the field has a reputation. I'm sure I have one, and it's not such a good one. When I'm from the other side, it's a great one for my own clients, but every lawyer in the system who's done more than one or two divorces for more than one or two years has a reputation. You get through that issue. You don't have the lawyer standing up and going, mine's bigger. And in this line of work, you often have lawyers who do that at the beginning. So you want to get that out of the way so you're not in court. The trial. like I said before, the trial is just like divorce court on TV, except no commercials, and it's much longer, and it's much more drawn out, and it's much more expensive. I've tried cases as little as an hour and as long as 7 weeks. It's brutal. It is very, very difficult to find a trial that will last a short period of time. They're usually only one issue things. But a divorce trial where the parties don't agree on who's going to have the kids, don't agree on where the kids are going to live, don't agree on how much support is going to be paid, don't agree on what the businesses are worth, let alone how to divide them. That takes time. And the process is, you've seen television shows all the time, Law and Order. Lawyers ask questions. Clients give answers. Lawyers make objections. Sometimes those objections have merit. Sometimes those objections are just to break the concentration of the other side. The trial is performance art. Find a lawyer who knows how to do it. Not because your case is going to be tried. Hopefully your case is not going to be tried. But don't go to a lawyer who has the reputation of folding like a cheap suit. Don't choose a lawyer who doesn't try cases. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and find a lawyer who tries every single case they have. And there are lawyers like that. I know some of them. I think the best alternative, the best alternative is me, let's face it. You should be calling me. You should be going to my website. My number, again, is 212-964-3502. Why me? Well, because I have the philosophy of negotiating from strength. I have the reputation of trying cases when I need to try them. Not only do the other lawyers know that, but the judges know that. The judges have a healthy respect for me. They know that if they say the magic words, and this is what usually is in the judge's back pocket to force a lawyer to settle, which is, counselor, call your first witness, I'm ready to do that. I'm capable of doing that. That is how you get your best results. Don't hire a lawyer who is a real estate lawyer who is just doing divorces now because the real estate market is closed. Get a specialist. Don't hire a podiatrist for open heart surgery. It just makes the most sense. And you don't have to hire the first lawyer you see. Shop around. Women seem to get this analogy more than men do. Picking a divorce lawyer is like buying a pair of shoes. Try on a couple. See how you look at them. See how they feel. When you find someone you're comfortable with and someone who you are confident in, go with that lawyer. Make sure your lawyer is not intimidated by the process, is not intimidated by your spouse, is not intimidated about the amount of work to be done, and is not intimidated by the other side. As I like to say, nobody scares me. I have the reputation of making lawyers work. I will litigate for you if that is what is required. I will fight like hell for you to make sure that either you're getting what you need through the courts or to soften the other side up for the best possible settlement. I've enjoyed speaking with you. I look forward to next Friday for the Divorce Hour at 1 o'clock. If you like the show, tell your friends. Call in. Instant message us. Email us. Text us. Call me if you want private questions answered. I can be reached at 212-964-3502 in New York, and also in New Jersey at 201-925-8148. My website, www.ny-nj-divorce-attorneys.com. I want to thank Giorgio for making me sound good. He's working the board today. And remember, we're restreaming in a couple of minutes, and this show will be restreamed at 6 p.m. tonight. Tell your friends, have them listen, and join us again next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is the end of the Divorce Hour for April 9, 2010.